Ramsey TV.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, the believers in eternal torment, they really think they have us. And verses like Matthew 25, 46, where at the judgment of the nations, Jesus says to the sheep and the goat, sheep. That's the plural also. Of course it is. Deers? No, it's deer. I know that. Okay. He says to the sheep and the goats, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, yet these into everlasting life. And what do they say to you? They say, well, you people say that everlasting is this Greek adjective aionion, based on the noun ion, which has to do with time. You say that that's limited. You say that the punishment is limited. And we say, yes. And they say, well, then, since this phrase, everlasting punishment, is put right next to the phrase for everlasting life, then to be consistent, you people, you terrible people who believe that Jesus Christ was a successful Savior, you people have to believe that the life is also limited. To which we answer, that's right, it is limited. Welcome, this is Martin Zender, voted unanimously as the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, holding court here from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, also known as the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. That's right. The life spoken of in Matthew 25:46 is limited, because in the Greek, it's aionian life, not everlasting. That is the most troublesome. No, it's not even the right. It's not strong enough of a word. It's the most hideous translation that has caused more angst, more sorrow, more horror than anything else. And they think they have us. Oh, well, this proves. We know the life is unlimited. We know we live forever. So the punishment must also be forever. Oh, it seems like a solid argument. Seems airtight at first. But no. You see, the job of a translator is to bring the word, bring the source word, through to the target language in as pure and consistent a way as possible. And once you determine from context that the word ion cannot be spoken of as eternity, cannot mean eternity in any context, because again, it's pluralized, then once you realize that, then the adjective form of the word eon, aeonian, cannot mean anything more than the noun. So it has to be related to a period of time. And the job of the translator is not to interpret, well, we know that people live forever, so we're just going to make this everlasting. No. Just bring it over. Bring it over. Leave your opinions out of it. You translated it age elsewhere, translated age here, and then try to figure out. First, you have to translate it, then you think about it. You don't think about it first and run it through the filters of what you think the word should say, what you think God was trying to say. Just bring it across what he did say, and then adjust your teaching, adjust your belief in accord with the translation. And if the King James gang, or if the NASB dudes, or the NIV numbnuts, if they had translated consistently, they would have brought this across as, for instance, the Young's literal translation has done, age-abiding. These shall come away into age-abiding chastisement, yet these into age-abiding life. What age is in view here? Or as the Concordant would say, aeonian life. What eon is in view? It's like I told you yesterday, the eon in view is the kingdom eon, one period of time, the hopes, the dreams, the expectations of every Israelite. They ate, breathed, and slept the coming kingdom, the 1,000-year kingdom. Not in their wildest imaginations did they ever interpret the coming kingdom as some kind of eternity. Nobody even knows what eternity is. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess I know strictly what it is. It's a time with, it's not even a time. It's, you can't even describe it. It has no beginning and no end. It's just beyond human comprehension. And God doesn't strain us with that. Even when he speaks of us living forever, he says, not die. See, we can handle that. Oh, I'm not going to die. Okay, that's cool. If I'm not going to die, that means I'm going to continue to live. Correct. Ding, ding. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. He's not going to die. He's immortal. Therefore, he will continue to live. Nothing says everlasting life. No scripture promises you everlasting life. Nope. Anytime you see everlasting or eternal in any of these common versions, it's wrong, wrong, wrong. I don't care if it's describing your future life. I don't care if it's describing God. I don't care if it's describing the reign of Christ. Because the reign of Christ actually comes to an end because he reigns so well during the eons that there's no more need for reign. That's right. That is correct, though. Yes. And your life, if you're a believer, you have life that endures through the future eons. If you're not a believer, then you don't. Does that mean you'll never live again? Nope. Just means you don't have aeonian life. That's the only time period in context. And it's the only time period that is in view in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, all the Israelites cared about was the 1,000-year kingdom. No impartation of any thought of eternity in their minds. None. That's very helpful when you're reading the scriptures. Opens up a whole new Bible. But you wouldn't know it unless you have a good translation. Age-abiding life. That's good. Young's literal. Rotherham is good here. Age-enduring life, I think he says, in a concordant. Aeonian life. And, of course, the Dvar translation translates it correctly as well. The Diaglot translates it correctly. There are several versions that get it right. But it's this assumption that these people knew what God was trying to say. Oh, and even when the word everlasting describes God, like in Romans 16, the everlasting God, well, you people have to admit at that point that this word has to mean forever and ever, because you're telling us God's life is limited? No, we're not telling you that at all. We're just saying that in that passage in Romans, it's not trying to tell us that God's life is unlimited. It's trying to tell us, just translate it, and then think about it, trying to tell us that God is the God of the eons. He's the aeonian God. It doesn't mean he doesn't go on after that. If you tell me I got to work this weekend, oh, so that means you're not going to work any time after that. You're just working this weekend. No, I'm not just working this weekend. I'm telling you specific information about a specific time period, namely this weekend, that I have to work this weekend. It doesn't mean that I'll never work again after that. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's called that in scriptural several times. Oh, no, he's not my God. He's only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only, it's just specific information related to those patriarchs. God is the aeonian God. That means he goes through time with us. He's a God involved in time, involved in the eons. Doesn't mean he doesn't endure always. There's other verses that tell you that. For instance, in the Psalms, his years shall have no end. If you want to prove that, see, there's again, it's that no end. It's the negative put in front of the word end. No end. There's not one single word without the prefix that speaks of forever. It's always with the negative. Not die, not end. That's the Greek. This is sophisticated information I'm giving you. And it opens up great vistas, and it does away with the hideous teaching of eternal torment. Now, here's another big mistranslation. I'm going to go to John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 in the King James Version. Hate to do it. The King James Version sucks. I hate to say this for the poor King James only people, but if you're a King James only person, you're never going to get the truth. Well, that's not an absolute statement. As long as you're a King James only person, you're going to read phrases like everlasting punishment in Matthew 25:46, or everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and there's no way you'll be able to see the truth of the salvation of all. There's no way, because right there in your mistranslated Bible, everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment. How can you see it if you think this is the word of God? But when you realize that God doesn't speak English, or the writers of the scriptures did not speak English, and when you realize you have tools to investigate the words, you will find out that the King James translators were very, very inconsistent. That's the word from Elmer Fudd. There's something very, very screwy going on in the New American Standard Bible. Yes, there is, Elmer. They mistranslated this word constantly because they're interpreting, not translating. I hate it when that happens. But I'm going to do this for the sake of education. John 11, starting with verse 25. Martha is in view here. Her brother Lazarus has just died. He's still in the tomb. Jesus says to her in verse 23, I'm reading this from the King James, so I'm going to put the thy, thee, thou, thine. I hate this stuff. It seems holy. Even the Concordant version keeps the thy, thou, thee. I wish they didn't. Just say you. Because it lends this false veneer of holiness. Thee, thou, thy. I'm going to do it, though. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he yet shall live. Okay, that's good. But now listen to this. Here's the killer verse. Here's the verse that makes people think that the soul is immortal and that Christians don't die ever after they believe in Jesus. This is why when you go to a funeral, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend going to any funeral officiated by a member of the Christian religion, because they will tell you how the recently deceased is not deceased at all. They're not dead. No, they didn't die. They're with Jesus in heaven. They went to a better place. Yes, they are. They've gone on to their reward. Really? I thought they were dead. No such thing as death. Here's where, according to them, here's where they get that lie. It's from a mistranslation. You won't believe what the King James Version did with Matthew, with John 11, 26. John 11, 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's so hard to say. Believest thou this? Why don't you just say, do you believe this? But no, King James. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yes, Lord. But anyway, I don't want to read that next verse. I want to focus on this. Whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look in any Greek text, the word ion, A-I-O-N, is in every Greek text. This is one of those places where the KJV boys simply did not translate that word. They just didn't translate it. They saw it, they didn't like it, and they said, let's just leave this out, this tone. We don't want that one there. Kind of wrecks our belief in the immortality of the soul. Yeah, so it's not going to translate it here. Yeah, it's not going to translate it here. Just leave it out. Nobody will notice. What, do you think they're going to invent a concordance someday? Yeah, well, they did, and you're screwed. And the gig is up. You losers. I'm going to read this now from the Concordant version. John 11, 26. And everyone who is living and believing in me should by no means be dying for the eon. That is an accurate translation. Shall by no means be dying for the eon. Does this not gel? Does this not gelleth with everything I telleth you yesterday? That the whole burden for an Israelite was the coming kingdom, which in which they would rule and reign with Christ potentially 1,000 years. It says 1,000 years right in the Bible in Revelation, chapter 20. They shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That is for the eon. He will not die. Lazarus will rise again in 5 minutes. Jesus is going to raise him from the dead. He's going to live again. He's going to go through life. They're going to have to pay for another funeral. He's going to die again. But when he's raised on the last day, he is going to live for the eon. And anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will live for the eon. There it is in a concordant literal New Testament. Shall no means be dying for the eon. In other words, if you're worthy, in Israel, such as Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus raises you from the dead at the last day, not now. I mean, yeah, he came from the dead, but he died again. When you're made immortal, you will not die for the eon. So that 1,000 years is going to go on, and there's no chance of you having a funeral. No chance. And that's what Jesus is saying concerning that eon. But what a treacherous translation. He who believes in me shall never die. Well, wait a minute. Well, what happened to the word ion, which is in the Greek text? Hey, we saw not to translate that. He's calling for bother. He says, leave it out. There's no, nobody will notice. Nobody's going to make a call and so on. Yeah. And now before I end the show, I need to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. This is another place where a mistranslation causes people to believe in the immortality of the soul. And by the way, God inspired these mistranslations so that you'll have to be an unashamed workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Proverbs 25:2, or is it 25:1? I don't know. Read the whole book of Proverbs. You'll find it. It is to the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is to the honor of kings to search out a matter. God conceals matters. But he doesn't shut a door without opening a window. He gives you a concordance, gives you study tools so that you can look at these words for yourself and see that, oh, wow, they blew it here. And that's definitely the case in Genesis 2:17, when God says to Adam, on the day you eat, that is, should you eat of this fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the day you eat, you shall surely die, surely die. The first thing Adam said was, stop calling me surely. Then he shrugged and said, well, okay, he ate of the fruit, but continued to live. So in what way did Adam surely die? In what way did Eve surely die? This is where the idea comes, really, that you get, it's called so spiritual death. He's spiritually dead. Really, what is spiritual death? It's a contradiction. Spirit is life, death is the absence of life. Spiritual death? It's like saying dry water, spiritual death. Oh, look at that guy not moving. That's spiritual. It's impossible. This is what the King James people did. The word death is repeated twice in that verse. But they saw that. And they interpreted it, and not translated, they interpreted it as just being like hyperbolic or excessive. So instead of translating both the words, they made it an exaggerated form. They say, shall surely die. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. What is the difference between being dead and surely dead? Oh, this poor soldier's dead. Yeah, but you see that one over there? Yeah, he's surely dead. What's the freaking difference? Well, there is no difference. Here's how it reads in the concordant version of the Old Testament. On the day you eat, to die, you shall be dying. Also a different form of the word. To die, you shall be dying. Look, in any Hebrew text, that word for death is repeated two times. Double the pleasure, double the fun. But when the King James guys saw it, as repeated twice, I guess we should maybe translate it twice. The guy next to him says, hey, let's just make it like lots of death. Yeah, let's make it lots of death. Yeah, not just death. Surely die. Oh, it sounds good. Bye, bye, bye. Surely die. And because of that, people get the idea that the people are dead while they're alive. And then you just transpose it and you're alive while you're dead. And it works perfectly in their convoluted, twisted minds. With John 11:26, shall never die. Oh, and the reason Satan Well, okay. Yeah, God uses Satan to do it. Satan's just an intermediary. He's the middleman. God did this so that you have to dig an extra level down. But Satan loves the teaching of the immortality of the soul because it ultimately denies the death of Christ. Not only does your Uncle Joe or your Aunt Mary not die if they're believers, if they believeth in him, but Jesus Christ didn't die either. I can think Jesus believed in himself, didn't he? Did he believe in himself? Yeah, exactly. So he that believeth in me shall never die. So how is it that Jesus died? He couldn't have. And that is a direct denial of Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. The death of Christ for sin is the foundation of our evangel. The death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. May I make sense for a living here real quick? I mean, not that I haven't been doing it this entire show. I have, but I would like to say this. How can you raise from the dead if you're not dead? How can there be resurrection without death? I know I did it again. I just keep making sense. But this is the word of God making sense, and I'm just pointing it out to you. And I'm pointing out that there are some very, very poor translations that unless people take the time to look at it. I mean, when you get your statement from the bank, do you believe what they tell you? Do you check up on it? You look to see if it's right. This is the word of God, and God has provided tools. And if you can't look for yourself, that's fine. Watch MZTV, and I'll explain it to you. I'll show you the verses. And then you can look it up for yourself. If you don't believe me, you look for yourself. And then you find out, what Zender told us was true. And then the ultimate revelation hits you. And it is this. That guy really does make sense for a living.